it'd probably be funnier.
Would you do improv with a gun to your head?
I would never do. I did all of the UCB classes. I hate improv. I'm so bad at it. I did all the whole 101, 201, 301, 401, and I did advanced Harold. And every single teacher I ever had for improv was like, it seems like you are more of a stand-up comedian. And I was like, yep, that's true. And they had no idea. I never said it in the class. I just was like,
oh my God. Okay, yeah. I need to ask you, what is a Harold?
A herald is a type of it's a type of improv structure created by UCB that is basically it's three unconnected scenes, and then you do a second beat of those scenes, and then you heighten it, and then you do a third beat of the same scene, and then heighten, and then you end by trying to bring all the scenes together.
Okay.
Then I think between them you have unconnected group scenes as well.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. And but so it's like three acts with unconnected like little group games is what they're called.
I see. The reason why I ask is because I remember someone asking and getting a very different answer, and I was like, is there actually like an empirical answer? And so I was just curious. It's the thing is, like, I also like went to acting school. I still don't know what viewpoints are. I still don't know.
What are viewpoints?
I don't know. I have no idea. You couldn't pay me.
Yeah, I think when you were talking about the UCB program you went through, it almost like, I was like, what is this, a multi-level marketing scheme? Like, it sounded like you were paying for lectures and then had to recruit people.
Yep. There go $2,000.
Oh. Goodness,
I'm with you there though. I did a lot of improv. I did so much.
Did you exclusively at UCB or did you go somewhere else?
I was at the Pit for a long time, and then I was at this other theater called Reckless that closed because the like guru teacher that they had was accused by multiple women of sexual assault. So the whole theater had to close down. He wrote this crazy long like apology and resignation, and then he wrote a retraction of his apology and his resignation all in like the same week. It was fucking great. I was like, this is better than improv. This is funnier than an improv.
That's scene. Better than an HBO miniseries. That's awesome. And that's all in 1 week. You only get one episode a week typically. That's packed. I like that.
Meerkat cult listeners, welcome to another episode.
To another new episode, we give you a fast intro. We don't actually introduce the beginning, but welcome to a new episode, proper introduction. I am Lucas Arnold.
And I am Gabby Jordan Brown.
And we have a gorgeously talented comedian, a writer, a performer of all sorts. Please give a huge round of applause for the effervescent, I'm using that word again, Gus Constantelis.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, you are very effervescent. I think that is actually a correct usage of that word.
Thank you. So what you're saying is that our previous guest was not effervescent by any means.
Our last guest was Nick Cohen, who's like 6'5" and has this like gruff, deep voice. I was like, I love him, but effervescent? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Slow down, babe.
Woodsman? Maybe. Effervescent? No. That's a correct usage of that word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. I want to ask, like, do you ever get tired of calling someone like beautiful or pretty or attractive? Do you have like a word that you prefer that's like just a little more zhuzh, a little more unique?
For me or for other people?
Both.
You know, I would honestly love if people would stop calling me what's the word? Faggot. That's the one. Okay. I'm so kidding.
I gotta stop doing that. I'm
but
sorry.
It's so descriptive.
it fits, and that's what hurts. You know, that's what really hurts is the truth of it all. No, honestly, what I really get annoyed when people call me tiny but energetic. I'm just like, say annoying. Just call me annoying. Like,
stop being tiny and energetic though.
Like, do you ever get fun sized? That's fun. The worst.
Oh. I get a lot. I just want to put you in my pocket.
You're like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in your pocket.
It sounds sweaty. I don't want it.
I've seen your fucking apartment. I can only imagine what your pocket looks like. You know, I don't. What?
Yeah. I don't want to find out what your lint is made of, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to sit there with Abe Lincoln on a coin, just be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Good? I'm good.
Well, he was gay, allegedly.
Oh, well, yeah, yes, that is true.
He liked to sleep, apparently platonically, but there were like records of him like sleeping in the same bed with very, very close
platonically,
male friends.
He was taking a nap with his friends.
Oh, exactly. It's not real. Had to be gay. But that's what the records say. And we know what's up, really.
Well, now I know he was straight because he was just napping with his bros. Like straight men do.
I was trying to think of the last time I spent the night in with a man, which was genuinely platonic. It was because we had to double up. We went on vacation.
Was it
we
Abe all Lincoln? Had to share.
It was anal, was what I was going to say. No, but me and some like theater friends, we before like our graduation week, we wanted to get away, just like enjoy each other's company. So we rented this Airbnb.
You're explaining this as a straight thing to do. You're like, yeah. Me and my theater friends went to the Airbnb all together. Yes.
This is the story I'm sticking to, and you will find it convincing. We all had to share beds because there weren't enough beds to go around for all of us. And I shared a bed with my buddy Connor. And we checked each other's bodies for not lice. What is it? Ticks. That's it.
Oh, ticks. Yeah. Yes. I'm sure that's why you checked each other's bodies.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That's the story we both came up with.
That's hilarious. I actually did stay in a hotel once with my best friend, and I thought like we would platonically cuddle. And one time I tried and it didn't work.
Oh, wait, what happened?
I just was like, we were just like, it was late and we were like chatting and I was like, we could cuddle. And he was just like, what the fuck? No. And I was like, I just meant like platonically. I was like, I've known you since you were 5. Give me a break.
Oh, no. If you've known each other for that long, you can cuddle.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Did you just do the thing you like got into the little spoon position and you were like, I'm ready. Come here.
Like literally pretty much. Yeah.
Oh my god,
that's what half of being in a relationship is all about. It's just like having the other person know when you want to be the little spoon.
I'm always the little spoon.
Wait, Gus, have you ever been the big spoon, and if so, what has it been like? How did you take the role?
I have been the big spoon sometimes, and it's usually when the guy is like really into short guys being the big spoon. That's like usually what it is. And honestly, it is so fucking uncomfortable because it might be good for them to have like a warm turtle shell on them. But for me, it's like, I am like, my head is in the middle of your back and my crotch is like somewhere around your kind of like thigh area. It makes no sense. It really doesn't.
There's a term for that. They call it jetpacking.
Yes, I was about to say.
Right, that's what I feel like. I feel like you're jetpack. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I was gonna hope that you were gonna say that this dude was actually like gigantic, and you say, yeah, my pelvis is around his lower lumbar region.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Oh my god. Wait, Gabby, have you ever been like the big spoon? Have you ever jetpacked? And how did you like it?
I'm often the big spoon.
Really?
Nowadays, yeah, it's not my favorite thing to do. It's like the devil's agreement. We have a silent agreement where like I am the big spoon at night, and as a trade-off, I get to be the little spoon in the morning.
I see.
Very mafia compromise. Vibes in this.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't talk about it, but it's there.
Gotcha.
What about you, Lucas? Have you been a little spoon?
I have been a little spoon, and I've never been with someone who is taller than me though. But I've been the little spoon and it feels awesome. It feels amazing.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah. I would never do without it. Gus, have you been with someone who's shorter than you?
Ooh, that is a good question.
I have never been with someone that's shorter than me, but I have been with someone that was around the same height. And so by that, I mean still fucking taller.
Wow.
So but how tall are you? Bit.
I'm only 5'2". So the guy was like 5'4", you know what I mean? Or like 5'3" mm-hmm. without shoes. So like very much only that much taller than me.
Oh, wow. Wait, do you, so wait, Gus, can I ask, like, do you have an ideal height where you're like, this is too little or that is too much? Do you have a Goldilocks zone?
No, I have no height. People with the height thing, I just don't get it. Like it really, yeah. like, yeah. I don't really get a lot of preferences when it comes to dating because it's like such about, it really is so much about the person for me. Like, and when people are like, I don't really find Black people attractive. I'm like, that's fucking racist. That's not, yeah. fucking, that's 100%. Not a preference, but okay. But like, because it really does depend on the person for me. And so height is the same thing.
Preferences are crazy. Yeah. I was at summer camp and this girl like was on the bus next to me and she was like, can I tell you something, Gabby? Which is always like when another Jewish girl like wants to tell you something about guys, it's always just like something's gonna go wrong. And she was like, I've never dated an Asian guy. I've also never dated a Black guy. I've also never dated a Hispanic guy. And she just kept listing
She's
the reasons.
She's whittling it down a lot.
I mean, all lives don't matter, according to her. Like,
no. So wait, how long did she go before she was just like, just Jewish guys? Just Jewish? Is that how it ended?
I think she went to like Native American. And then from there, you can't really keep narrowing down. I mean, you've pretty much hit it all, except for whites.
I've never heard someone say Native American in terms of like their preferences, positive or negative. I've never come across that.
That is so strange.
I don't know. There's something about like, sometimes white people, if you look white, they just want to confess racism to you, you know? And it's like, it's just the worst thing to do. I'm like, why are you dumping this on me?
Speaking of which, can I just confess a little something? Speaking of what, no, but I will say something genuine, which is I don't like it if I see couples, regardless of gender, if they look too similar. It bothers me.
Oh my God, weird.
And have you seen the Tumblr that's like gay boyfriend twins?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's I've terrifying. Not seen that one, but I was just turned on to, just a couple days ago,
you were just
turned on to an Instagram account, turned on, very aroused, by an Instagram account called Siblings or Dating.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too terrifying. Much.
I hate it.
Just say you're a narcissist and let's move on. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just found.
Oh.
And the worst, honestly, really, can I tell you the worst is when Please. I see guys that I find attractive and then I'll be like, fuck, they look just like me.
Oh.
Like, I'll be like, that guy's so hot. Or like, there's guys that I've dated where I've been like, oh my God. And then I look back at pictures and I'm like, this is fucking, I'm bad. I'm part of the problem.
This is one of the most fascinating parts about like gay dating and gay relationships, just interactions in general, because like, I have a friend from college who, he like discovered a sexuality in college, as so many do, but his type is himself essentially. And all of us, like the rest of us in like our friend group from college, we all notice that every single guy he's ever dated looks at least a lot like him. And it creeps us out. It creeps
us
all
out. It's a
thing.
It's a real thing.
No, I can't. That's why no anti-Semitism, but I don't think I could date a Jewish woman because I'd be like, we are competition. We one's fighting to be best at the Miha Moha. I can't date myself.
Oh God.
I will never do it. That's why I've dated a bunch of Slavic women, Latino women, a couple Black mm-hmm. women. It's just like, I can't, no one who looks like me. I'm like I was going to say the anti-narcissist, but that's a narcissistic thing to say. So that's not quite right.
Yeah. But because like I definitely don't want to date someone that looks like me. I just like the idea of like dating someone who looks like Lucas, that's fucking awful. Just,
well, it would like, be so funny if I would also exactly like you. I think it would be awesome.
I would also never want to date anyone that looks just like you, Lucas. I'm so
Thank
kidding.
You so much, Gus.
I'm so kidding.
Damn.
Now flirt with me hard. No.
No, I think it just was. Oh, yeah. That's the hard flirt. Now I'm going to suck you down.
Speaking of crushes, this is something that I always find interesting. Gus, did you have like, do you remember like something in TV or film that was like your sexual awakening? The first time you someone and you were like, oh, this has awakened something.
Richard Gere.
Oh, amazing answer.
It was in so what? Fast. I know. In so much, but mostly in the movie Unfaithful with, is it Unfaithful? I'm pretty sure it's the movie Unfaithful. It's funny because the movie Unfaithful is a movie in which Richard Gere plays the husband that the wife is cheating on with this other really hot guy. But the whole time I was like, why? Richard Gere is so fucking hot. Why would you cheat on Richard Gere?
He really is hot this. I pulled it up. Oh, daddy.
He does look good. That he really movie does.
Is just hot overall. Like, that's a sexy fucking movie.
Well, to be fair, I'm looking at the other guy and like, that is not an unattractive dude.
He's not either. But like, there's this scene in the bathtub with Richard Gere, and it's just, oh my God. I just remember I watched it for the first time. I'm like, it was like on HBO or something when I was like literally like 11 or 12 years old. When the movie finished, they did an encore of it, and I stayed up until 2 a.m. and then just rewatched it to just like jerk off to it more. Like, it was just a whole 6-hour night of just me and Richard Gere going at it.
But it wasn't just going at it. It was like going at it, wait a few hours to the right scene. And oh my God.
Yep. In a way, it was like you were being unfaithful to the other guy. Because when he came on screen, you were like, fuck, we'll get him out of the way. Where's Richard Gere? Come on.
Oh my
God. Do you think that's when you first like discovered your sexuality, or was it earlier? Was there like a cartoon you were into? I feel like some people like are into cartoons.
People that want to fuck cartoons are fucking crazy. I'm sorry. I'll just say it. My hot take is that if you want to, Lucas is going to be like, I want to fuck cartoons right now. I swear to God. No, but people that genuinely want to fuck cartoons, like genuinely. I mean,
not genuinely.
There's cartoons that are hot. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Goku is hot. Mm-hmm. Especially when he's in Super Saiyan mode, but I don't want to, like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be like, all right, let's go, you know, I'm not fantasizing about Goku.
Like in The Lion King, like Simba?
Oh, yes. And kinda Nala. I know for a fact that Eddie Redmayne, the actor, he was turned on by Nala. He thought that Nala was kind of...
Did he tell you?
he told me when we were in bed together. I was trying to spoon him, but he said no.
And yes, then, you're cuddling.
And then he told me that, no, it was on the Graham Norton show. He talks about this.
This is such a his publicist is hilarious. Losing his fucking mind, though. His publicist is like, talk about the movies. Why do you talk about this lion all day, bitch?
And he's like, no, Lion King. Just like.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
But yeah, I know he has said that about Nala and also Maid Marian from the old school cartoon Robin Hood.
He talks about more cartoons.
Yeah.
This is Eddie Redmayne's hill to die on. This is the one thing I know about his personal life.
Yes.
That's so bizarre.
What you told me right now. But yeah, was that when like the Richard Gere movie, was that when you were like, oh, this is definitely something. Like, I'm probably into guys or.
Well, I think it was that, but also like my parents, like I was the youngest in my family. Like I have two older brothers, and my parents, like my mom doesn't speak English. And then my dad was like a cool dad that just like didn't give a fuck. So like we were able to just watch whatever the fuck we wanted to watch. So like I was like 9 years old putting on like whatever, you know what I mean? But there was also Queer as Folk, which was that show on Showtime growing up. And I would literally watch the sex. I've only seen every single sex scene in Queer as Folk. I could not tell you what the story of that show is. I have seen every single sex scene. It's amazing.
You're just putting them together as they go with context clues.
Yeah, I just like.
Now I got to ask, based only on the sex scenes, I want you to infer everything that connects them. Give me the whole storyline based on what you know.
So there is, there's these two, there's like a group of dudes. There's a group of gay dudes. There's two lesbians in it, I think. Every once in a while, they start. Yeah, every once in a while they fuck, and I fast forward through those scenes too, so I'm
sounds
sorry.
Sounds like the queer comedy scene. It's just a bunch of gay dudes and two lesbians.
That's honestly true. That's true. And one of them is super hot. One of them is a bottom and kind of annoying. And they date and they're very on and off again. And then there's this other guy that's supposed to be like the Samantha of it. And it's supposed to be the big slut. And he has like all the best sex scenes. And then there's another guy who's, I think, supposed to be kind of like the Miranda. And he's like very like, I don't do a lot of things. But then he just like has like, I think he gets cancer, but I don't know. And I mean, he might or may not.
I love that you derived it from a sex scene. You were like, he probably has cancer. The way he's fucking.
I think he's cancerous right now. Yeah, I think it's stage 3 cancer at this point. And then the two main guys.
You can tell by the thrust action what stage it is.
Yes. And then the two main guys, one of them is the bottom and he's like annoying. But the other guy is like the hot, hot guy in this city. And everyone loves him. And there's this club they all go to all the time. But then by the end of the show, he starts being old and they all don't like him anymore. So he's like, I have to settle down. That's the whole thing of the show. That's the whole show.
So it's ultimately about ageism in the queer community. That's phenomenal.
I think essentially what it is. Yes, that's true. And I'm sticking to it. And that's what you missed on Glee. Okay.
Were you a Gleek? Let's be honest.
I was a Gleek. I was a Gleek for the first 2 seasons, and then the 3rd season, I gave up. After Lea Michele was like, I have to lose my virginity if I want to play Maria in West Side Story. And I was like, what? She's like, I need to feel closer to the character. And I was like, she's Puerto Rican. You're white.
Method
you're
actors.
You're never going to be Maria. You're never going to know what it's like to be poor in New York and like a different race because you're white. Like, sorry, Lea Michele. Getting pregnant is not, or losing your virginity is not going to make you feel closer to Maria from West Side Story at all.
You know so that she was, actually like wanted, Lea Michele herself wanted to be Maria in West Side Story. So that was like a true plot line they took from that.
I know.
Or did they, or did she just improv it and it was written in?
No, she really wanted to be Maria in West Side. Like,
I've never seen Glee.
Did.
I don't know why I'm.
That the racial insensitivity of that storyline for me was so terrible, followed by the fact that like the two gay characters are being annoying at the time. I was like, I quit. But I watched the finale and I cried so hard.
Oh,
I cried so hard, Gabby. I cried so hard. I told everybody about it.
I never saw the finale. I stopped after season 3 as well, probably around the virginity plotline. And then my sister and I picked up a random episode, like episode or like season 5 or something, like not knowing any context. Blaine and Sam were friends. Like there was just all this weird stuff going on. They were in New York. Like,
yeah,
it was so confusing. But I do want to watch the finale because I always had a huge crush, bless her heart, RIP, on Naya Rivera.
The finale. Sidebar, the finale really focuses on the core main characters and kind of ignores all the new characters they introduced in seasons 3, 4, and 5. So, and 6. And so I did, like, as someone that hadn't watched the show for 3 seasons, I was like, this is the perfect ending for me.
Yes, that sounds great. Cause it sounds like they really shoehorned in some of those new characters.
They had Glee Project on. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, they had the Glee Project going on, so they had to shoehorn all the winners of that show into the show, into Glee.
Oh, right. I remember that. They, like, you're cutting in and out a little bit, but I heard the last thing you said, which is about the Glee Project, right? How they had to, like, shoehorn all those people in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm cutting out. Am I cutting out?
A little bit,
yeah.
Okay.
We get to look at your beautiful face, though, so it's worthwhile.
I'm closing tabs, so it's not taking up too much of my... maybe I'll stop the video, too.
Okie dokie.
Okay,
there's the headshot again.
Oh,
is this better?
Your headshot is a fine placeholder. It's just nice to look at you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, there you are again.
There you go.
All good in the hood. Yeah.
I hate when they do that. Go on, Lucas.
Please go on. No, I have nothing to add.
I have nothing to add other than I hate when they do like a reality show competition. And I remember they did that for Grease where like they auditioned a bunch of people to play Danny and I was going to say Danny and
this
Sammy.
I remember. This I remember.
It's just buried in the deep recesses of my brain. They just auditioned all these people to be in the revival of Grease. And the two people they chose like kind of sucked. And then they got to be on Broadway 8 nights a week because of some reality show. The 2000s were a lawless time.
It was lawless. And let me tell you, I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race yesterday. And they keep talking about COVID, and because they filmed it during COVID.
Right.
And I turned to my boyfriend, I was like, can you imagine like 50 or 60 years from now, people are probably going to be watching like old TV shows and be like, they've really shot all these TV shows while a fucking pandemic was going on and people were dying. Like, like we are really honestly going to sound so stupid in like 30, 40 years. I just want to let everybody know.
Oh my God, you're so right. We're going to be like, we let these people do drag. There's a pandemic. Stay home.
Here's the worst.
Shitty reality competition shows.
Here's the worst thing, though. This is me playing devil's advocate. In RuPaul's Drag Race.
Classic. The straight guy comes on here. He plays devil's advocate. Exactly. Classic.
I was given a special license when I was born for it. They just knew. But seriously, in RuPaul's Drag Race, there isn't that much physical contact. I have not seen the most recent season that was filmed during COVID, but a lot of it is them like alone at their desks, putting together their outfits and planning stuff out. And the performances can, in my mind, it's something that would be natural to like space out a little more physically.
No, absolutely. RuPaul's Drag Race being one example, but like, and sure, but I'm talking mostly about like the Law and Order SVUs going on. Grey's Anatomy still shooting, where there's like group scenes and like people obviously like big camera crews involved where people were probably interlapping. People are really gonna be like, these people were so stupid. No wonder all these people died.
The Bachelor. It was Darwin, honestly. Survival. Yeah.
As if you couldn't get through everything you haven't watched on Netflix during the pandemic.
Right. Well, and my friend doesn't work at Netflix, but knows people that work at Netflix. And in the very beginning of the pandemic, around April or May, he was like, Netflix isn't even worried. Netflix has enough content shot and finished, ready to go to get them until the end of 2021 without shooting anything new. So they're like, fuck it, we don't care.
I believe that Netflix is a factory. Yeah. I feel like I met a Netflix producer once who like, I was like working with her. I used to work in virtual reality, which is like a weird other life I've lived. And like, she like came to visit our installation for one day and she was like, I've got a flight in 3 hours. I have 4 other projects I'm working on. And I was like, how do you sleep? What do you eat?
Oh my
God. I have a part-time job now. I feel like I'm drowning.
It's insane. And it's because they've really changed the model of how they make television. You know what I mean? Like it's very untraditional. And I mean, probably much more cost efficient and smarter for them. Mm-hmm. But like the show I work for, they're instead of doing it like season by season by season, they picked it up for the whole series. So we as writers, we just get to write the whole show in the year's time. So for us, it's like temporary gigs, but for them, they're saving so much money on the back end.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're like working on writing the content of the show, like in a room?
Yeah, talk a little bit about it.
Yeah,
I write for a show I can't name because it hasn't been announced yet, but it's gonna be on Netflix. And it's super cute. It's a kid show and it's the age range is like 6 to 9, which is a great age range. And it's super cool. I mean, I write episodes. And so what we do is we have summits in animation and because the episodes are evergreen and you don't really have to like follow a storyline, you can, you know, we have summits, we pitch our episodes out. We meet and we just flesh out all those ideas all together as writers. And then individually we get assigned episodes. Then we do story breaks with the executive producer and the story editor. And that's when we like really flesh out exactly what goes on in the episode. And then I go off, I write the outline, I get notes on the outline. I go off, I write the script, I get notes on the script, and then I send it back one more time and then I'm done. And then that's my involvement on it. And I get around, it depends on the show, but in this show specifically, I'm getting like 9 or 10 episodes, which is great.
That is so cool. Is this your first experience like in a writer's room? Have you done it a bunch before? Or?
No, I've worked in writer's rooms before. I worked on a show called The Lion Guard and I worked on a couple of Nickelodeon shows. And I also wrote an episode for the new Rugrats reboot. So I'm so excited about that.
There's a reboot?
there's a Rugrats reboot, and I'm so excited about it. They just announced it, and I'm honestly so excited about it.
I'm excited about it as well. I heard that there are fewer. That there's
they're not introducing some of the characters yet. So Dill and Kimmy are not introduced yet.
Okay.
Okay.
But Susie is a part of the regular cast in the first season this time around. And it's really good. I can't say anything about it. Yeah. But it's really, I think what they did with it was really smart. Instead of trying to make it much more complicated than they needed to, they actually just brought it into the today's world, and they were like, this is Rugrats in 2020. And I think that's really smart of them. And
that's really good.
Honestly, the first day I sat down and wrote like Angelica, I was like, this is fucking weird. It was weird.
Wow.
That is so crazy to get into her mind, because I feel like, you know, I hated her as a kid because I feel like she's written for you.
But you love hating her. That's the, you love it.
Well, now I think she's iconic. I'm like, she could call anyone the F slur.
Yeah. I'd come out to her.
That was an iconic...
I smoke a blunt with Angelica.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, 100%. Well, I'm going to be honest, like Phil and Lil, I think they were like the closest to like the stoners of the original cast.
Yeah. And I would do like, shrooms with them.
Oh my God. Yes. And her beard, like Jewy husband.
But can I ask like, so are there any shows that you watched as a kid that you desperately think deserve a reboot? Or things that you miss?
I honestly, the thing is with that question is that it will probably become a reboot soon. You know, right. I just think, but I would love to see a reboot of, I probably would watch a reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to be honest. Like,
yes.
I think that it's maybe too soon, but I think it'd be like really fun. I don't know.
I think Fairly Odd Parents would be a great one.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. And definitely. I mean, they're doing new Hey Arnold stuff, and I did watch it, and it's pretty good.
I did not know that. That was my favorite fucking show.
They did a movie. So they did a movie. Oh, I love the movie. Ago.
The movie was so good. I loved it.
I think it was supposed to start a reboot after it, but I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Yeah. It was supposed to launch a reboot, but maybe it just didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw the movie. Was it like, did they change up any of the characters, or was it basically the same?
They pick up basically where the show left off, and it addresses, I don't want to give it away because it was emotional and I cried while watching it. I'll admit it. I cried. And I've,
me
and
too.
I've,
I,
got me but so there's much. A double gay wedding at the end.
Yes.
Anna and Brittany and Kurt and Blake.
And Arnold and Gerald. No, but it's Arnold on the search for his parents. That is the movie, and I don't want to say anything more because you need to watch it, and you will cry. You will need to cuddle with someone to get through it.
It's really well done, and I honestly am so happy that I got that closure in my life.
Me too.
Yeah,
100%.
I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think people shit on reboots too much because you know, it's like, oh, there's no original content anymore, but There's a part of me that's like, if art is good enough, it needs another deep dive, someone to take another look into it. I don't know if you guys agree.
As long as something original is done with it, something new, something that where you, or there's a new crevice that you want to open up and see and explore more. And if that isn't there, and the thing is like, it's so often that reboots are just done as like just a money grab, and that it's so easy to do it badly. And that's where I think a lot of people are jaded because of it.
Right. But I also feel the same way where I'm like, I wish I could say stop doing reboots, but every once in a while, there's some that are so good that you're like, I mean, like Cobra Kai, for example, where it's like so incredible that I'm like, I mean, just keep doing it forever. I don't even think that the Karate Kid is as good as Cobra Kai anymore. Like, that's where I'm at with Cobra Kai. I think Cobra Kai is the thing keeping America together. Honestly, I really do. I mean, it's great. But there's a few other ones that I've just felt like were amazing that I'm like, I mean, if you do it right, you do it right. And it's really about the characters, because it's not, no one cares that you're telling the same story. Like, the mistake a lot of people make is always to like make a rom-com a sequel. And it's like, it doesn't work because it's a rom-com. Like, you can't make a sequel of a rom-com, like Coming to America, for example. That's a rom-com at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Making a sequel of that is like, well, you can't make it the same genre. So this needs to be a different genre. So if you make the same movie, you're just doing a disservice to yourself.
Can I actually give one that I think there's a sequel that I don't think it's an extraordinary sequel, but I think it's a solid sequel? Is I really liked My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
I never saw it.
I liked it too. I thought it was cute.
I thought it was really sweet.
It was just like, these are wacky characters. Let's put them in stupid situations. Goodbye. You know, I thought it was cute.
As a Greek person, do you think that those movies are accurate to the experience of being Greek?
Oh yeah, I think they are. I think they're accurate to the experience of being a Greek immigrant outside of Greece, not as a Greek person. Because that's like, a lot of Greek people in Greece were like really pissed about it because they were like, we're nothing like this. But it's very much like Greek immigrants in America.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think always, like, I watched Shiva Baby recently and I thought it was so accurate to the experience of being Jewish, but obviously there's no one is a monolith. So there's obviously a lot of people who are going to be like, wait, well, that's not my experience. I'm like, it's one movie. cannot encapsulate the whole thing, you know?
Right.
Wait, Gus, I do have a small question. Was there... Do you know of anyone that like saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the original one, and then went to Greece expecting like people to be like in the movie? Is that the thing that happened? Because like when I watched it, I thought, oh yeah, these are Greek Americans. I didn't think like, oh, that's what people in Greece are like.
I'm sure that plenty of Americans went to Greece and they were like, Windex! And like, we don't, like, all the Greeks were probably like, we just don't have that here. That does not exist in this country.
Enjoy the beach. Stop throwing Windex at us. You're in a beautiful beach. Come
Do you
on.
Want souvlaki? Just go over there. What are you doing?
Yeah, you can get souvlaki. That is a thing you can still just get.
Yeah, you can get it anywhere. That is a great movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
Oh yeah, so rewatchable. I have the VHS and the DVD. I'm not gonna lie.
Do you have any other like movies that are there any other like really good Greek movies that people don't know about, or like movies about being Greek, a Greek American or Greek immigrant,
but only made by Nia Vardalos, only made by her?
Just fucking no, that's the thing. The answer is so hard no. Like, there's such little content in America for like that. It's just insane to me. Like, yeah, I guess I would say that that's why people really enjoy, like, a lot, because I have a lot of Greek followers and Greek American followers on my Instagram and TikTok, and so that's why people really enjoy my content, because they're like, there's nothing on TV for me, and there's no movies about me, and there's no actors that are like, are very, you know, vocal about being Greek. Like, John Stamos is, unfortunately, like, other than doing a yogurt commercial, isn't very vocal about being Greek, you know. And I love him to death, but you know, it is what it is, and that's just the truth of it. And so I think that, like, but I also think that's true of like a lot of immigrant cultures. Like, for some reason, like, Americans don't realize like how big immigrant cultures are in America, and they very much discount it as like being something that could be very, I guess, profitable from a business standpoint. Like, you have so many different cultures, and like a lot of immigrant cultures have so many similarities. Like, I have so many followers that are just like Arabic or Jewish that are like, this is funny because my parents are like that, or Polish, and like, I like that too. Like, my mom is just like that. And like, America, and then people tell me, they're like, oh, you have such a niche brand. And it's like, immigrant, sorry, but like, immigrant is not a niche brand. And like, you have to stop treating it like it is.
Quirky little thing you're doing.
Yeah, like, being a first generation immigrant American in America is not a niche thing. Like, so many people have that experience, and like, I think like once like TV networks pick up on that, then we'll start like seeing like really much better fucking funny content.
Gus, what's it like being the first ever child of immigrants? What's it like? Can you talk like, about
seriously, I'm like, what?
You're a fucking pioneer.
It's so untapped.
So weird. I'm like, I get comments like that all the time, and I'm like, you're dumb. Yeah.
But I think also people act like it's like very stereotypical or something. It's like, this is how it is. Like, this is how it actually is. I love your videos, by the way. And I
love them so much.
They are so highly specific. And I always think the more specific to one person's experience something is, the more it taps into everyone's experience. It's this weird paradox.
You can find a universe in the smallest details, and that's exactly where you need to go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
I love like when you put on your wig and you go like, Greek, but no, guide, and like, and going through all of the. That is my, and then you like break it and say another words. It kills me every single time, and especially when you ask other people to pronounce like Greek names and Greek terms, that also always kills me, because you can see like the defeat in their eyes as they're like, I really want to say this right. It's so fun. I love it so much.
Do you have a favorite like audience interaction you've gotten, like a comment that's really like been important for you to see, or like someone who really loves your videos you've connected with or something?
Lucas, I'm sure you and you too, Gabby, I'm sure you guys have gotten comments from people making content. Lucas, like, I'm just saying Lucas because Lucas has 2 million followers on TikTok, and I'm sure
you are not offending me. I don't care.
I'm just
yeah,
so I meant no offense by it, but you know what I mean. And you get comments, but it's really the comments from people that are like, I am I'm like 17 and I'm gay and I don't know how to come out to my family, and they're very conservative Greek, and I just, because like a lot of Greek people are super conservative, mm-hmm. and so they're like, I have no idea what to do, or they identify as like non-binary, and they're like, your videos have really helped me like come to terms with my like identity, and like it's good to see someone that is like not the traditional like macho Greek dude doing the same fucking thing over and over again. And so like that is great, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm adding something new to this, and I'm like trying to like break a barrier for a lot of people in the community. And like, while it might be a small community, it does affect a lot of people, you know, at the end of the day. So like, those are the comments that I think are really great.
Yeah. No, that's really beautiful. Yeah. Something you and I can relate on is big time, creators online. Gabby, step aside.
I did have a tweet go viral, and kids called me mommy in my mentions. So,
whoa.
So I know what it's like with my 1,000 followers.
Oh my God.
I'm so kidding. I feel so bad.
It's really fine. I don't care.
No, all I was going to say is that I have occasionally gotten like the occasional comment or like a direct message saying like, you've really helped me through, or you talked about something that was really meaningful, and that it means the world. And the rare times I've talked about like my background or having like my mom from the Sudan, it's like, I do occasionally get like people going, oh, I almost see no one who like talks about being Sudanese or is Sudanese. Like, people don't know where the country is. They think that it's like a state and that Africa is a country. That is something that bugs me a lot, is when people don't realize it's a continent. Yeah.
No, I love, like, we did an episode about the Meghan Markle interview and like her experience with the royal family. And Lucas got to really open up about like what it's like being of a similar racial background and like how it's just an interesting experience. And I think that probably impacted a lot of people. And it was really cool that we got to do that, you know, on the podcast, for people to, you know, be listening to somehow find our podcast and just be like, oh yeah, that is my experience. Like, it's just, hopefully people find connection in the craziest corners.
Gus, did you have any opinions on the Harry and Meghan interview? Did you see it or not?
You know, I have to tell you, I don't know a single fucking thing about the royal family.
Okay.
But I watched that interview.
No context. Raw dogging it.
Literally, I raw dogged it. No context. You're right, Gabby. I did not know a single thing going in. I was like, oh, Meghan Markle from Suits, right?
Yeah.
My boyfriend is very involved in that world. And he's like, I'm watching this interview. If you want to watch it, watch it. So I sat down. I was like, fine. He was like, come on, just watch. It's a big deal. And I was like, is it? Do people care about this? I really just have no idea. Because I'm like, we're in America. Why do people care about this fucking family so much? What are we doing here?
Yeah, independent, 1776, baby.
But Americans are so self-centered, except for the royal family. Like, you could be like a whole country in a different part of the world just fell underground and everyone is dead. And Americans would be like, I don't fucking care. Spring break. But Prince Philip dies and I have to stop doing everything I'm fucking doing that day. It's unbelievable. But my thoughts on the interview were, you're really surprised that a white rich family is racist? Really? Like,
Yeah.
How was anybody surprised? Everyone was like, oh, Oprah was like, oh. And I'm like, oh, the rich white family is racist again?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. People were like, who said the racist thing? Was it Charles? I was like, are you kidding me? It was all of them. It was all of them. They were in a room and they all nodded and agreed.
And like, also,
maybe the queen. I'll give it to her. You know, that's yeah. it.
I will say, on the podcast, I said my guess was that it was Charles, because like Harry said that he wasn't talking to his dad anymore, but he's still talking with like his grandmother, the queen, and he's still talking to his, but like he has a frayed relationship with his dad. And I thought, oh, it might've been him, but he just doesn't want to say it outright. But then the thing is like, I kind of defended William. Like I like Prince William. I think he's a nice dude, but then like he posted online, just like him with a black friend. And I was just like, oh my God. I was like,
any guesses on who the black friend was? Did he get just like the most random, like,
oh my God, he doesn't even know. He hired him for a day. Yeah.
Like one of those, remember like at Trump rallies, they would get like one black guy to stand in the front.
Yeah. And then Donald Trump points him out. He's like, oh, look, I love the blacks. I love my black fans and my voters love you. He's makes a big deal out of it.
Fucking mess.
I would love to be like a paid actor for something terrible. I was talking to I hung out with Dan Frank in the park today. We were talking about like closeted actors, and I was like, you know what? If I was a gay guy, like I would have fucked John Travolta because I want that hush money. Like I want like $100,000 to go away.
That is, they get so much money. My friend has slept with one of the closeted actors and has an NDA. Okay, and they make money. They do.
Oh, that's my
nice.
God.
I mean,
it's not six figures, but it's like 50K or something, you know?
Is it, was it one time deal or was it like a subscription? That's how I think.
No, I think this was a subscription. I think this was a one time deal with this actor. Okay. And then they told me about it and they were like, oh yeah, I had to sign an NDA. It was like a whole thing.
Still, that's not.
But could you imagine, like, imagine just coming and then all of a sudden, like, paperwork lands on your lap? Like, oh my God.
Like who gives you the paperwork? Surely it's not the actor. It's like an assistant comes out from the woodwork. Right. Like
it's the left testicle. It's
yeah.
It comes out of the left testicle, Lucas.
No, it was just like grab. Just like here you go. Just
like by that. The way, I've been hiding this paper in my sack the whole time. If you want to sign it.
Oh my God.
The cops are trying to catch us talking about this.
Oh my God. Oh, the police are on their way.
I heard the noise.
Quick, tell us who it is. No, we won't ask you. No. God, that's so funny, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I can say who it is. But cut that out, too.
Obvious. You know I mean. Oh,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But, like, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh
there we yeah, go. That's what I was saying. No, there are so many gay closeted actors in Hollywood, and you'd think, like, they'd come out by now, but no, it's just a thing.
I remember a while ago there was a Reddit post that was like, no one knew if it was real or not, but it kind of seemed real, where this guy was like, I am an American film actor. Like I am almost married to a woman who I've been with for a very long time. And I'm in the closet because my agent said like, gays don't make it in Hollywood, which seems not true to me. Like, but I mean, I guess if you're like a film actor, like middle America wants to feel like they can fuck you.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to do, really. If you want to be an action star, like you have to just be straight.
Yeah, like
are there any gay action stars? I actually don't know, like real proper like action. Just,
I feel like not action stars. I feel like maybe Matt Bomer has been in a couple of action movies. Yeah, but in terms of stars, I mean, it's just a hard. It's a hard thing. Also, Gus, you were saying like you get all these details in LA. I feel like it is funny to like be in the industry at all and just hear about which celebrities you grew up idolizing were like assholes to your friend who's a waiter or something. Like that is a classic like New York LA experience.
Right.
So disappointing. Everyone has an Ellen story, you know what I mean? So like was talking about. I did the WB tour and the fucking tour guide was like, Ellen's a cunt. Like they were just like, she sucks. Her bodyguard doesn't let her talk to her. Like she's the worst.
Oh my God. I actually, I have a story of someone who is an asshole, who I'll tell you the name, but I will also bleep it out. It was, and I can confirm, he is a dog shit human. Okay, so let me tell you what happened. Okay, so.
We should just call this episode Off the Record and just off keep cutting away.
Off the Record, yeah, that's the name. That's the name now.
I'm gonna get so many DMs from like people being like, who are you talking about?
Yeah. But okay, so this is what happened. So I was working at an art exhibit in 2019, and I was only there for like a month and a half, but on the grand opening, all right, so big opening night, big VIP event. And one of the shifts I had was I was to check names at the door. I had a list. You would, Gus, you would come up and I would go, yeah, what's your name? Gus Constantelis. Oh, cool. Yes, you're a VIP. Here's your VIP bracelet. Put it on. Enjoy the art. And for the rest of the events, just show your bracelet and you'll be let in. And you would say thank you. And then you'd go inside and enjoy the exhibit. And that's what everyone did, except this guy, who I will not mention, but I mentioned to you guys. He came up to me and he just did this. He just came up to me and he went, he just put his wrist, and I was like, do I have to put the bracelet on for you?
He said, kiss the ring.
I might as well. If he did, I probably might have.
But probably would have done it. No, I know pre-COVID times, I would have kissed anyone's ring.
My anxiety, who knows what would happen? Just like, but yeah. And so I took out the bracelet and I stretched it open and put it on his wrist. And then all the while he didn't look at me once. And then he just went inside without saying thank you.
That is so crazy. I went to this one girl's house when I was like 13 and we had a sleepover and she had posters of him all over the wall. I thought it was the most alarming thing I'd ever seen in my life. I know like people have teen crushes or whatever, but I was like, you are a psychopath. There's not an inch of your room that isn't covered in this man's face.
Oof.
Honestly, a good rule of thumb with people is that if they fizzle out somewhere along their career and not because at like the peak of their career, it's because they're an asshole. Like if they have like a couple of really good movies and then all of a sudden start doing really shitty movies, it's because they're an asshole.
I did a class with a director who told me the exact same thing about an actress, who I honestly don't remember her name, but he basically described that she was awful to get along with. And that's the reason why she basically hasn't done anything for the past like 15 years or so. And I was like, oh, that makes
it
so
feels
much
like
sense.
At the end of the day, and it's true in comedy as well, that like things are very like, what have you done for me lately? But that also works to the advantage of like filtering out really mean people, because at some point, like if you're an asshole and you're at the peak of your career, people are going to put up with you. But once you've had a few years and people know who you are, they're going to be like, the cost of having this person is so high that I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I hope that COVID honestly makes people realize that they don't have to put up with this shit anymore. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's so many things post COVID that I'm just like never doing again. But I'm like, if I have to host an 11 o'clock show, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not hosting a late night show at 11 o'clock until 1 a.m. and then going home, having to take an Uber, basically getting paid $25 and then having to pay for a $32 Uber.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Negative $7 out for the night so I can host a late night show to six people from fucking Idaho who don't even laugh at me. I hate this. No, I'm not doing that.
Especially because we don't know when the subway is going to resume normal hours again. Because right now it's closed from like 2 to 5 a.m. for like cleaning and stuff. And yeah, you're so right.
I've decided
I'm not doing
reckoning, but like with like 8 or 7 person bringers. I feel like that for listeners who don't know, a bringer show is like you have to bring your friends to watch you do comedy and they all have to spend like $40 on you. So sometimes you have to pay them to come. And it's like one of the only ways you can get a really good tape of your comedy if you're starting out early, but it's also like something that you do because it's like a show is a show at first. I just can't imagine myself bringing 8 people anywhere. I can't imagine myself interacting with 8 people.
I can't imagine 8 people. I can't.
What are people?
There's more than 4? No, I also like, I did like, a couple of bringer shows last year, actually, like before the pandemic. And I don't regret them. I definitely don't regret them, but I definitely couldn't do another one. It's just, no, I'm past it.
Yes, I definitely feel like I'm doing this with my friend. I'm making a list of the things I'm not doing anymore post pandemic that I don't want to put up with. And I think that's everyone really should do that, because it'll help you be accountable to yourself and also be like, yes, I don't need to do that. What are you doing? And one of those things is hosting late night. The other thing is not calling someone out just because they're in a position of power over you.
Ooh, nice.
Because I've called so many people out this year and on Facebook, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck anymore. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? Huh?
And at some point, everyone realizes that the power people wield is very finite. Like, mm-hmm.
Especially in comedy.
Especially yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. 2 minutes in, it's like, you could be, it feels like a microcosm of like an improv class. Like if you have like the funniest scene in an improv class that day, you can't be talking about it 3 months later. You can't be like, oh, remember that scene where I was the quirky janitor? It's like, shut up, do something else.
Well, that's a beautiful thing I think that's happened with COVID, is that a lot of the gatekeepers have had power, just it's taken away from them, and mm-hmm. and everything has been, a lot of it has been given back into the hands of comedians. And that's why so many comedians are like hosting more shows and producing more stuff on their own in a way right. that's very self-sufficient.
Right. Like I've learned that, like, I've really learned that comedy club bookers aren't really that important. Like, I'm sorry, but like, Lucas, especially with you, those comedy clubs need you more than you need them right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what, if I were you, I would just be like, listen, Can I have your club on a Saturday? I'll sell it out. Do you want to make money or fucking not? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what I would do.
Well, that's, people don't, that's one of the best things. Yeah, no, it's one of the best things about like this past year and like TikTok for me, is I've gotten in contact with like other comedians just across the country who also have like big followings. And we haven't decided on anything like set in stone yet, but we've been talking about like, you know, like booking some good dates together and like using our followings to like advertise and do stuff just on our own.
Right. Right.
It's fucking awesome.
And that's so smart, because, and that's the thing is, comedy clubs, what are they going to say? Nothing. And yeah.
Do you not want to make money? Just like.
Right. And the other thing.
No, I hate money.
Yeah. I hate money. I hate a sold out room. I want people that I think are funny. And it's like, no, you fucking, it doesn't matter.
I want five guys from Staten Island watching. Yeah. If they don't yell at a woman to take her shirt off, I will not throw this show.
Yeah, it's, and those bookers are so old and outdated at this point. I'm like,
oh my God, I know.
You don't even know what's happening right now. And these people that you don't even book at your club are going on the internet and getting more followers and making more money than you've ever seen in your life. So
you ever see a booker go up?
Oh, I mean, there is.
I have not seen.
I'm not going to name names again off the record, as the title of this episode is going to be, but there's the owners of a very big club in New York City are like failed comedians pretty much. And they go up, and it's like, you basically bought a club because you just couldn't make it. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately.
It's like watching the PE teacher like try and run.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Man, just take a donut and leave. Like, let the live little kids do this.
Just chaperone the junior high school prom and take your L.
Yeah, go stop kids from grinding. Come on, do the only thing you're good for.
Oh my God. That is such a good analogy.
Yeah, I agree. I would hope I hope that we would gain some knowledge from COVID. Obviously, it probably won't happen. None of us will ever learn anything, like, as a society and a culture. But you would think that at least, like, some of the inequalities that have come to light will eventually be addressed. And then also just in, like, personal things, like, you know, you'd think that, like, a person would stop hanging out with, like, toxic people during COVID. Because it's like, I just want to see the people I love at this point. I just want to see people who feel good.
Right.
And in a very small way, something I was talking about with our friend Maxim Allen was that something that we over time noticed, especially just at open mics, like distanced open mics outdoors during the summer last year, was that there weren't as many like crazies that like sometimes would just stumble upon an open mic, because it was kind of more word of mouth. So you could filter out the people that you just didn't like, or you know, that just didn't come up with good stuff consistently.
Right. Right. Something important I've learned this year is that, like, if you have someone in your life that is not happy for you when something good happens to you, get them the fuck out of your life. Get them out of your life.
Yeah. If you have people who treat you like competition, I filtered
all that shit out.
Oh my God. Imagine I was sitting there like, you know what, Gus? I am upset that you mentioned Lucas's amazing TikTok following. Fuck that guy.
But it's like, but it's like compare and despair, compare and despair. Like Lucas and I met at open mics and I was like, oh, he's funny. I like that you had that very interesting voice. And I was like, that is cool. And then you just blew up and I was like, great. That's so cool. Yes. That is amazing. I was like, nothing but happy for you. And I was
other
like,
people's success is not your failure.
I was like, great, because that dude knows me and we're friends. And like, not saying that he's ever going to help me, but I'm so glad that I could be friends with someone that is successful in that way. I don't want people in my life that are going to be fucking nobodies and not successful. Mm-hmm. I want people in my life that are successful and working hard and like also like have the same ambition as me and like have the same like drive as me and like are funny. Like, that's what I want. And that's what everyone should want.
Yes. So
don't ever compare. And that's like the thing is, another thing is like, don't ever fucking compare yourself ever, 100%. Especially as a queer person in the community, because it's so easy as a queer person to fall into the habit of like, oh my God, there's another queer person making it. I now feel like I can't make it. That's not true. Mm-hmm. If that happens, it just opens up space for everybody else.
Yes. Mm. And I also think you're defined by the company you keep. Like, If you're out there like talking shit about the person you run a show with or something, it's like, what does that say about you? You know, like, I'm all about like no drama 2021, just like pure, smooth, like just so good. Yeah. I can't imagine Lucas starting a fight. It'd be so funny if we had a fight.
It's a funny thing. Like, I met just like a day or two ago, I was meeting up with a TikTok friend and we, She had parked her car and like we'd went to get some smoothies. And when we came back, she was getting a ticket from a police officer. And like, she was very confrontational in a way that I absolutely wouldn't be. Like, I would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry I parked there. I'll pay the fee. I'm sorry. And then she was like, no, I can just move my car. What's the issue? And it was like, it was really funny to watch because like, just at how different our personalities and our tendencies were. Cause I was like, oh, that's not me. I would never start. That's so not me. But Gus, one small thing before we get into some listener submissions, something I wanted to ask you is that with like the growth you've had on social media, especially recently, have you had people reach out to you being like, hey, it's so cool to see you blow up, especially if they were not so friendly very recently? Like, is there, you don't have to name names, or you can, but is there anyone who like tried to get on your good side?
Yeah, they have. And honestly, it's like whatever, you know what I mean? I respond nicely and then I just kind of like put it in my pocket and I'm just like, okay, I know. It doesn't really affect me. I think if they're trying to be nice, it's fine, but it is what it is. I mean, where it really does bug me is when people do start wanting things from you. And it's like, if people like reach out and they're like, love you. And then you talk with them for a little bit. And then they're like, you know, I would love to do this with you. I'm like, we don't need to do this. Yeah.
Another small thing. Like, I've had that as well, but especially if it was someone like, hey, I'd love to collab with you on something. And then they wouldn't have an idea. And then they would say, and I was like, okay, what's your idea? And they were like, oh, I just thought we could like come up with an idea together. I was like, okay, so that if someone, even if it was someone trying to get on my good side, but then they said, this is my idea. I have the script. I think you'd be perfect for it. Tell me what you think. That I actually respect a little bit more because I know it's ultimately serving some sort of an artistic vision instead of just trying to use like the audience that I've built.
Yeah, like, ooh, I thought I would just tack on to your following for a second and add nothing in return. It's like, exactly. Yeah, no, that sounds fair. What a good transaction for, I get nothing in return and I give you everything. That's awesome.
No, it's the worst. Okay, so Gabby, shall we get into listener submissions?
Let's do it. Let's rock and roll.
Okay, I have one pulled up. So, I am one who has a plethora of phobias. However, there are two I believe to have a correlation to one another.
Wait, can I interrupt?
Yes.
Is this the queen writing? I have a plethora of phobias. Where's this bitch's monocle? Anyway,
I'm afraid of dying really soon. Just,
I don't want to nag our listeners. I am very sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're very eloquent, whoever wrote this. If it's the queen, cool. Love you, Liz. Anyway, so plethora of phobias, two have a correlation to one another. The first is my fear of small fish. I'm fine with bigger fish like koi or any saltwater sea life. I love sharks, but small, tiny freshwater fish creep me out. I can go to aquariums, but not pet stores. The second fear is of tiny spiders. Now, this one really weirds people out. I grew up with tarantulas and I love them, no issue, but tiny little spiders that show up randomly. I hate them, disgusting. Keep them away from me. Tell me why people think I'm so weird.
It just sounds like you have a size issue.
A size queen.
It's what a size queen.
It's a size queen. It's not the queen, it's the size queen.
The size queen.
Size queen, right.
This actually, I'm wondering if this is a fear of like, imagining like you're swimming and like a big fish, like a koi or a shark, you know, that isn't going to like try to swim up in your clothes or in your hair or something. Like that's going to be big and that's going to be, you won't lose sight of it. Where a tiny fish, you might lose sight of it and it might start nibbling at your elbow or something. You might lose it.
And so you might be worried it's in your orifice or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I think that I will agree about the freshwater fish. Like, I like seeing the big fish because you do know that they're there, but those freshwater fish will bite you.
Mm.
Interesting. They nibble.
That I've got nibbled on. I've got nibbled on my calves when I was in the beach in Greece one time. Just nibble, nibble, nibble. And it hurt. It hurt like a mother effer. And wow. So you know what? This person's not weird. It's dangerous out there.
And it's the same thing with like spiders. If it's a big tarantula that just like it can sit in your hand or in a tank that is just, it's big enough that you know it like can't crawl inside of you somehow. Like that is like, that's a way you can rationalize it and feel a little bit safer. I kind of get that.
Yeah, I do get it actually. I don't think it's that weird.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I guess not. I know that that betta fish are apparently really dangerous because you can't put them in a tank with each other or they'll eat each other.
Did you say betta fish?
Have you ever heard of this? It's a betta
fish.
It's like a kind of, I was going to say
house. It's the cuck of fish.
It's the fish. They wear those ad agency glasses. They like listen to Neutral Milk Hotel.
yeah, exactly.
But they're really vicious. I think the smaller the thing, the more it has to prove.
Mm.
Right, which is why I am so loud.
Yeah,
that's why you're fun size and effervescent. I can put you in my pocket,
but I'll bite you.
Ooh.
Gotta get a saltwater gus instead of a freshwater one that doesn't nibble.
Well, in conclusion, this person, you are not weird.
Yes.
You're just a size queen, and good for you. This person has a question. They're asking us advice. Okay, mm-hmm. So for background, I'm in high school and I'm, in the grade above the person.
Oh yeah. So this writer, I read this. So the writer, they asked out a person and this person is a year below.
Oh, got it. Okay. I asked a dude out who was in the grade below me at 1 a.m. as a spur of the moment thing. I expected a no, but he said yes. I was supposed to plan the date, but I have strict parents who said no. So then I didn't talk to him for a while. I explained the situation that we should get to know each other better. And all he said was, okay. Did I hurt his feelings? I know he was probably really disappointed. What do I do? Please help me out. I need it. Oh.
Aww.
I would say, honestly, in this situation that, like, it's really important to just actually not ghost people in this situation. Like, just...
Yeah.
It's really difficult in this day and age to just text someone and be like, I am in a bad mood today, or, like, whatever. But it really does help the whole situation and, like, in the future. I just think long-term with people. And I'm like, if I just respond to them and I'm honest right now, they will understand that that I'll be better in the future or like whatever. It just like communication, just it's like so important. And it really Absolutely. Like with texting, it goes away and it really should come back.
Yeah. And that's also like a test for like that other, like you could totally just say, hey, I had every intention of like going out with you. I think you're awesome. But my parents, I wasn't expecting it, but they're really strict. They're not letting me go out. Can we work on something different, like FaceTiming or getting to, like, that is a totally valid thing to say. Mm-hmm. And if that dude is a cool person, he will understand. And if he's not, then he's not to be messed with.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I also do think, to like go to the other side of it, like, this person shouldn't blame herself, because yeah. it is the most natural thing in the world to have the biggest crush on someone, finally have something go right, and then have like this weird wrinkle thrown in the way that like possibly yeah. fucks the whole plan up, and then you're like freaking out. So yeah. I get why she ghosted, but in the future, it's like Gus said, it is always better to communicate than not to communicate, because at the end of the day, they are your real feelings. They are real to you, so you can't judge them badly. So why should anyone else judge them negatively? Yeah. If that makes
right.
sense.
Right.
It is also, I think, just a little bit, like, we are all of us are much past high school. And so it's a little bit easy for us to say, because I think we've all had just like a little more experience with dating and rejection. We've built up skin, and we know, and a thick skin, and we know, like, ultimately skin. Like, what yeah. we built skin
foreskin specifically.
We're all in a factory just making foreskin for people, but but like, when you're a teenager, it like, it's so high stakes and it's so nerve-wracking, and you want it to work out so much that you'll lie or you'll leave stuff out, you'll omit stuff. And so it's kind of easy for us to say, but yeah, all we can do is just say, hey, try to be yourself and try to be honest and be the most yourself you can be. And if they like you or dislike you for who you are, good. Ultimately, you don't want to waste energy.
It is hard to admit. I will always say this, like, what I do is, like, when I don't want to send the email or cancel or reschedule or whatever, or just be honest with somebody, I always think that, I just remind myself that the dread that I feel about sending this is so much greater than the feeling I'm going to have when I just send the text.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be on my mind. I'll just be dreading it and be like, oh, I'm stressed about it. I'm stressed. It's annoying. I'm annoyed about it. Should I respond? But as soon as you send the text message, it's like a weight has been lifted off your shoulder every time, because you've done the work. And if that person responds negatively, then that's on them, and that person doesn't really deserve to be in your life. So like, that's another thing. But chances are they'll just be like, oh yeah, I get it, goodbye.
I get that. And on another part of the submission, I also wonder if this person, it's different for every parent, but I do think if I had been, when I was 16, if I had like had a conversation with my parents and been like, hey, like, why don't you want me to date X person or Y person? Like, what is this thing that what is this resistance you're giving me right now? Or like, cause maybe they'll say something like, maybe they'll clarify why, like religious reasons. And then you can be like, well, I'm not religious. And that is a conversation that you guys can have. Or like, I don't know. I think, as a teenager, it's really hard to communicate with your parents, but if you yeah. can, if they're not going to kick you out of the house or something, it's probably important.
Absolutely. Ultimately, of course, to any kids out there, be as safe as you can be and do what you feel comfortable with.
Right.
Oh yeah. So let's do another one. Where is it? God damn it, where's the note? Okay, here it is. Okay. Hi, mommy and daddy meerkat. That's us. Woman 16. Have had my armpit hair grown out for about a month now. The deodorant I used to use when I shaved doesn't work. And right now I'm detoxifying, or whatever my mom said, my armpits. If either of you have armpit hair, would you discuss how you smell fresh and not disgusting? One of my bras literally smells like an unwashed pussy.
I have very hairy armpits, and I think the advice I would give is Old Spice.
Ooh. Is it the spray do you use, or do you use the bottle?
No, I use Old Spice deodorant, and I use the endurance one because I really smell. Because
you need to endure.
I literally, I'll like shower and then just sit in bed, or I'll sit in the couch all day and write. And then after 7 hours, I'll get up and my boyfriend will be like, "You fucking smell. What is going on?" And I'm like, "I've done nothing but sit all day. I showered." So honestly, the best advice I can give you is just to find someone in your life that can put up with you.
That's good advice in general.
For real, because it's a real thing, and I fucking reek sometimes, and I get it.
Don't floss your teeth. Just get someone who doesn't mind the smell of unflossed teeth.
Floss your teeth, and put deodorant on. But get someone that'll put up with your little
Lucas, do you have hairy armpits?
I do have. I mean, I have hair in my armpit. I don't know if they're especially hairy. I do have a surprisingly hairy asshole though, which is not relevant, but I don't know why, but it was in my heart and I just needed to say that. Why? Oh yeah.
It's okay. I do too. And I'm sure Gabby does too.
I actually got it waxed recently.
Oh,
I got my first Brazilian ever. It was crazy. I don't know if you guys well, I guess you haven't if your buttholes are hairy, but
no.
The sides and the top of like your coochie area are painful with the wax, but the butthole, surprisingly nice to be waxed.
Whoa.
Oh. I'd be shocked. Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know a lot of gay guys that get their shit lasered, and I have to say, like, give me a break. I don't want to do that. No. And one of them was telling me about it. They were like, "Oh yeah, the first one, it hurts." And because it's a laser on your fucking asshole. And they're like, "It hurts." Like there's levels of it. They crank it up to a 7 or whatever. I'm like, "What?" And then, but the second time your nerves die, so you don't really feel it. I'm like, that is nothing has convinced me. Nothing has convinced me.
But do you feel anything like ever again?
Ever again? It was too much. I was like, just have a hairy butthole. You're fine. It's good. It's good for you.
It's like I lasered my hair off and now I can't come anymore. My prostate's gone.
but to get back to the listener submission, so I do have hairy armpits. And I use a deodorant called Herbin Cowboy, I think it's called. And I like the scent and it works well for me. And I try to avoid ones that have like aluminum in them. I'm a little hesitant to use those ones. Like made afraid of them for a while and like more natural stuff I go for. But yeah, I use it and it smells really good. I've heard that it like is a good accompaniment for me, I guess. But yeah, so I think just like experiment a little bit. Like it's very natural to like experiment with different like scents or brands and see what works for you.
Yeah. And get someone who doesn't care. That's the most important thing.
Get someone who has anosmia. Just
okay, we'll do two more here. So someone said they have a weird phobia of pointy shoes, and it all stems from a book called The Witches by Roald Dahl. They said, "I read it as a kid because it was labeled incorrectly, in my opinion, as a children's book."
Okay, I have a problem with this submission because the witches famously do not have pointy shoes. They have blunt shoes because they don't have toes. That's a very important plot point in identifying witches in the book. So this person is just kind of dumb.
You're like, let's neg these listeners.
So this person sucks. Moving on.
Next subject.
Well, actually, I don't like pointed shoes either. They're a little, like, just too pointy. No.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have a phobia of them. I just think they're ugly.
They're ugly.
I have a phobia of hideousness.
like a male dress shoe that's, like, too pointy, I think is gross on a suit. It looks awful. Get a rounded shoe. It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But is it, like, I wonder if this person, like, when they see pointed shoes, they, like, freak out. Like, how severe is this phobia?
Yeah. I'm wondering, I have to not be in the same room as them, or is it just, I don't like them?
Like, I heard about a woman, like a born again Christian woman who said she had a porn addiction, but then my friend pointed out, is it like, does she think an addiction is just like watching it once and liking it? So is it like, I guess that's unrelated. I don't know. It's like the asshole thing. We're going off kilter here.
Katy Perry has an addiction to kissing girls.
the taste of their cherry chapstick. She can't get enough. She eats chapstick by the tube now.
Oh, we're gonna get flagged by copyright. I have no idea what else to say to this person other than that I don't like their takeaway phobia.
Well, Lucas, I think they're valid. So we're going to disagree on this.
Agree
one.
To disagree.
It's our first fight.
Agree to disagree. So
Mom, Dad, don't fight.
Okay, who's keeping Gus? We need custody battle right now. Look at that little face.
I'm going to litigate. And so for our last one, Gabby,
Lucas doesn't want me.
Oh God.
I'm all yours, Gabby.
I never wanted you in the first place.
Full custody. Now you'll hang out in my pocket all day. It's disgusting in there. You better like it.
You better like listening to Lady Gaga and eating feta cheese.
That's all I do all day. My farts are deadly. You'll smell them from the pocket.
Oh, I will. Your farts, I'll be in the back pocket. Great.
Your farts smell the way Lady Gaga sounds. That would be kind of nice, actually.
That would be nice.
I was like, are you insulting?
Yeah, Lady Gaga? Are you insulting our girl Gaga?
I was like, I will come through the screen right now.
No.
Yeah, you've got two Gaga stands here. You can't. This is why I'm getting the custody.
Oh no, I love Germanata all the way. Okay, so for our last one. Gabby, should we have a little bit of backstory, just a little refresher?
Yeah, last week I told a story about when I went to the hospital because I accidentally swallowed the tab off of a soda can because I was drinking it too fast. I like put it in the soda by mistake and I swallowed it.
The thing that were you supposed to A, B, C, D, E?
Yeah, like the little, I was doing the thing, playing with it. It fell in. I was like, it's fine. I'm sure I won't swallow it. Of course I've swallowed it. And then I went to the hospital and they gave me a pregnancy test, even though I was like, it would be a modern miracle. At that point in my life, I don't think I'd had sex in like a long time. So I was like, or if I had, it was obviously with a woman because I haven't slept with a man in like 7 years or something. So I was like, it would be a modern miracle if I was pregnant. And they were like, we insist you have to take this pregnancy test before we do an x-ray on you.
Right.
So that's somebody weird because wrote that in, happened to me last time I was at the doctor too.
But you actually were pregnant. That's the twist.
Knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Anyway, so someone wrote in to say, Gabby, my sweet summer child.
I will fight
Read the soda tab. The hospital gave you a pregnancy test because they were going to do x-rays. Any person with a uterus in childbearing years has to do that. It's because
you're calling me old, bitch. You call me old? Childbearing years? Babe, I am 27. I have my whole life ahead of me.
Yeah, but I think childbearing years, and like this is gonna be gross, is 13 to like 49, yeah, which is insane. Yeah.
Any woman in childbearing years. Okay, I'll take it.
You're in your prime. It's all weird. Downhill from here.
I'll wait for this bitch to say something else inflammatory and then I'll pop off. Oh, yeah.
So the person says, any person with a uterus in childbearing years has to do that. It's because the radiation can harm a fetus. So they have to be 100% sure they don't take your word, that they can't take your word for it. They didn't think you swallowed a soda tab to have an abortion. Love your podcast. Have to submit something funny one day, but had to clarify.
That would be so funny if I pretended to swallow a soda tab. I was like, I want a free abortion. I guess they're all free.
Oh, what an
I was actually
going to
say the same thing after 17 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. I was like, they probably need to do a pregnancy test like by protocol because you have something in your belly.
Yeah, you must have. It when you watch enough of that show, you're like, anything's possible.
Yeah, it's like a protocol thing. So that's I was going to say the same thing, but this asshole listener beat me to it.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
And so Gus, we come towards the end of our podcast and something we do at the end, do not be scared. It's called Self-Perception Corner. We would like you to say how you think you are perceived by other people. And then we tell you how we actually perceive you.
I hate that.
Well, it's been a great episode.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I think that people think I'm too loud and can be annoying. And I think that I think that some people in the comedy community might feel that I'm not that funny. That is how I really do. But I probably because I'm probably talking about like specific people that I think hate me, that I will probably name accidentally. I think definitely the first two things are true. And I think that people definitely do view me as like being the life of the party amongst my friend group, not in the comedy world.
Okay.
We'll say our part after, but I want to ask, like, how do you reconcile you feeling that way that like maybe people think that about you with continuing to create content and putting yourself out there?
It's because I don't fucking care, because it's like I've already proven myself again and again at this point. So it's like, why should I listen to the negative thought when the reality is right in front of me? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, you know, it's like if you don't find Greek Mom funny, that's good for you, because X amount of people do actually, and it's actually really helpful to them because they relate to it and they find like a great thing about it. And so that's how. It's just because it's like, yeah, the negative thought is never as bad as the reality in front of you.
That's beautiful.
That is wonderful.
I completely agree. Yeah.
That's very healthy. Gabby, do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. I perceive you definitely as like someone like very energetic for sure. I feel like when I first saw you, it must have been on stage and I was like, this guy knows how to work a room. Like I feel
you
are so intensely connected to the audience. Like I feel like some comics like rest on their material a little and they don't engage. And you're just like here, boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna try and like engage everyone in this room. And like coming up in comedy, being relatively new to it, that was really awesome for me to see, because I was like, that's what I aspire to do at some point.
Thank you.
And then in terms of your personality, I mean, I just see you as like ambitious and probably very like thoughtful to the people in your life, and also just like, yeah, like you don't give a fuck, like willing to put yourself out there. It definitely loud, but I'm loud too, so fuck it.
I am very loud.
And a real New Yorker.
I'm so glad you do perceive me as a real New Yorker, because sometimes I feel like people might be like, this guy's not really from New York. And I'm like, no, I am. I'm from Brooklyn. I get very heated about it.
Yeah.
You're more New York than I am. And I've never lived anywhere else. So.
Oh, likewise. I've also, besides college, I've never lived anywhere besides Brooklyn either. And you're way more Brooklyn than me. Way more.
Yeah. It's mostly because my brothers are like, have very thick Brooklyn. My brothers are like, one brother's a car mechanic and the other one's like a bodybuilder, and they're both like, they talk like this. They really do. It's like,
wow,
very, very bro-y.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to meet them at some point.
Yeah. Okay. And for me, what I would say is that you have the most welcoming aggression I've ever seen.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it.
That is the best way I can describe it, is that I feel like you're someone who is like, made self-discoveries, who loves themselves or is at least really trying hard to love yourself. And you are so aggressive at wanting other people to feel and go for things in the same way that you have. And it's a very energizing vibe to be around.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
That's like ditto to everything that Gabby said, but that's what I thought is like a very, very welcoming, warm aggression that you give out and inspire in other people. That's the thing.
You're like, really, I could kill you, but I mean,
I want you to be a murderer with me, just like,
right.
Yeah,
right. Well, it's because I really don't like energy sucks in my life. Like I really just try to keep them out of my life, and there's a lot of people like that in comedy where you're like, you're so insecure and focused on yourself that like it's taking away from the actual talent that you have. And so you need to learn how to stop, one, doing that to yourself, and two, doing that to other people, because no one's going to want to be around you if you're like that, and and you're not going to break through what makes you special if you don't get out of that. And so that's why I'm so aggressive about it. I'm like, you know what makes you good, just be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also annoying. Beautiful. It's so cloying when people are like, I'm like, shut up, just do the thing.
Do the thing. I know people. And then I'm sorry to exclude you again, Gabby. But Luke,
I'm sorry, this is a man thing. No, could you imagine?
But Lucas, with content, you know, people reach out and they're like, oh, you know, what's your advice? And I'm like, the advice is just to film yourself and put it out there. The thing is, you're not asking me how to do content. You're asking me to tell you that you're good enough at doing content. And you know that you are. You know that you are. And you're just not letting yourself believe that you are.
Yeah.
That is such a good point. I think it's a great note to end on.
Yes, absolutely. And Gus, please, well, first off, thank you so much for coming on this episode of our podcast. It was so good. It was so educational. It was fantastic. Please plug and promote anything you like.
Sure. I'm going to be in Arizona next week, opening for Lisa Lampanelli if you're in Phoenix. And you can follow me at Constantly Gus on TikTok and Instagram.
Perfect.
Thank you guys. Awesome.
Thank you so much again. And to everyone else listening, please go to our link tree, which you will find in our Instagram at Two Nosy Meerkats, to send us some more submissions. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we will see you next time.
We all have tasks we'd like to avoid, like mailing and shipping. It takes time lugging all those letters and packages to the post office. That's why you should try Stamps.com. For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. You get all the services of the post office right on your computer, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, you save money with discounts up to 84% on USPS and UPS. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. Print stamps, print shipping labels, and if you sell products online, Stamps.com connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart, so you can spend less time on shipping and more time on your business. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com and enter code PROGRAM.